This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, do the 9 men in black think white? Or just how effective in civil rights has the Supreme Court really been? Tonight's guest, Attorney Lewis Steele, fired by the NAACP for criticizing the Supreme Court's civil rights record. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-4300. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. On October 13th, 1968, attorney Lewis M. Steele wrote an article for the New York Times magazine entitled, 9 Men in Black Who Think White. The article criticized civil rights decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court. On October 14th, because of the article, Mr. Steele was dismissed from his job as associate counsel to the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. In turn, this prompted the resignations in sympathy of the organization's entire legal staff. Their issue has split the NAACP on the question of whether or not a staff member has the right to state a professional opinion which may be in disagreement with the organization. In the uproar, the original question has been left unanswered. Did the Supreme Court rulings over a number of years, rather than meriting the high praise accorded them by civil rights leaders and other liberals, actually reflect a racist point of view and were without genuine meaning for the Negro's struggle for racial justice, as the white attorney, Mr. Steele, states? Mr. Steele is standing by in New York City to answer your questions on the Supreme Court and do they think white. Mr. Steele, good evening.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be on the air with you.
And thank you for being with us. Mr. Steele, we begin our Night Call conversation tonight by asking, did the Warren Court actually slow down integration?
Well, slow down is a difficult context to discuss the court's decisions in. Really, what the court did in 1954 is create a situation whereby integration was possible. What they did immediately thereafter was indicate that even though they felt that segregation destroyed the hearts and minds of black children, they then created a legal structure which would ensure its perpetuation, at least for generations of school children.
Associate Supreme Court Justice Black on a CBS television show a couple of weeks ago made reference to the deliberate speed phrase of that particular ruling, and if our interpretation is correct, I think it was to the effect that he felt that by adding the word deliberate speed that this might in some way have hampered the progress or the success of that particular ruling.
Well, that's right. The deliberate speed phrase occurred the second year, or the second Brown decision, in Brown 2 in 1955, and the court was then faced with the problem as to how it would order desegregation. And the decision itself makes quite clear that what the court was doing was balancing the rights of black children to obtain a decent education against the rights of the quote rights, end quote, of a racist nation to avoid making the changes necessary.
In the Yale Law School Journal, we didn't read it, but it's our understanding that Jack Greenberg wrote an article for them, and and within that article he stated that the Supreme Court is becoming more conservative. Is this also your feeling?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, my article starts out with the post-Civil War racist decisions, and then I try and take the cases all the way up to the present. Now, you can talk about 1954 as a logical turning point? Has the court gotten more conservative since then? I'm not sure. I don't think it's done anything, really, in terms of making the substantive changes that had to be made from its inception.
Well, how could the entire populace of America become so confused that following the Supreme Court's ruling that it was the popular consensus that the Supreme Court had come down with or had delivered a history-making decision, and there was a feeling that suddenly that there was a liberal court, and that where did the misconception come about?
I think there's no question that the 54 decision was a history-making decision. I think there's no question that there was great promise in that decision. And I think that what occurred is that, you know, the decision made, made great headlines. And then the question came, how would the decision be implemented? And once the question of implementation came before the court, it indicated that it really didn't mean what it said in its original decision. And people remember what it said in 54, and they said, well, gee, it's great. And they forgot to look at the at how the court determined to put the decision into effect.
Mr. Steele, were you surprised at the reaction of the NAACP in, well, I suppose it's always a surprise to get fired, but... Did you have any indication at all that your article in the New York Times would have resulted in your being fired?
No, in fact, I had, I have the flu, and it might make it a little bit hard for me to talk every now and then. I had submitted the article to the Public Relations Department about a week or so before on the theory that it would be a good article for the NAACP and that... should be reprinted as a public relations piece, and no one had ever indicated their displeasure with the article. The fact is that it really was reprinted,